to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise in your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments
are the aching of this life is a revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy?
And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
Oh, the beautiful spirit of the living God. It feels wonderful to be able to be in his presence and to have the Lord to be able to guide us in our worship experience. And at this time, we're going to have the setting apart of 70 Patrick McKay and 70 Jim McKay as they make preparation for their calling to go to California to spread the gospel to all those who the Lord has prepared to hear the message. We're going to have, we'll have Jim McKay come up and we'll have Patrick come down to the chairs. Jim McKay is going to be set apart by Elder Steve Marshall and Elder Les Leisinger. And then Patrick McKay will be set apart by Elder Les Leisinger and Elder Steve Marshall.
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time, and we would ask a special blessing upon our dear brother Jim, as one who is sent by Thee to preach, and sent by Thy church. And we would pray, Heavenly Father, that as he goes forward, that you might send your spirit before him and his brother to open those doors that you would have opened, to prepare the hearts of those who would receive the word of God. And we would pray that no harm or danger might come upon him in his travels and in his ministry, that he might return safely and in good health. And we would pray that there might be that his yeas might be yea and his nay might be nay, and he might speak forward with certainty of this restored gospel, restored in these latter days, that certain note and firm decree of your gospel might resonate and be spoken and might be carried by your spirit into the hearts of those that you would prepare to hear. For we know that the preaching of the word has more power than the sword or anything else upon the souls and hearts of men. And so we would pray that this word, as our brother tries the virtue of the word of God, to bring that to change in the hearts and souls of men and win them to thee, that he might be given that Holy Spirit to guide and bless and direct him. And we ask these blessings in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Almighty One, Thou Lord God of Israel, Thou who hast called us in these latter days into Thy kingdom and given us the seeds of redemption, even of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might be able to bring to pass Thy works and Thy kingdom here in the land of Zion in these latter days. So it is that we come to lay hands on the head of our brother McKay's. For surely we have heard their words in times. We have seen thy Holy Spirit. We have felt thy Spirit as it came. And we know, Father, that all things are possible in thee, that thou can bring to pass thy purposes. And so as these two are sent out, we pray that thy Holy Spirit may go before them and with them and accompany them, and that thereby they may be able to spread the word of the gospel, even the everlasting gospel that came down from heaven from above, and that the spirit that motivates it might be with them, that all obstacles therewith may be overcome, and they may find those who are ready and willing and anxious to receive the word, even at this time and place. Father, we give thanks for their lives. The fact that they have come back, come forth here from our branch, we've known them for many years, and we pray that thy Holy Spirit may continue to uphold them, and they shall have the power of the ministry of the word that thou has written, even thy word, Father, that may it be upon their hearts and minds, and may flow to those to whom they come in contact. We thank thee for these blessings of these two, and pray that they may be kept securely in thy charge, that no untoward thing may come to pass unto them, but only thy works of righteousness and justice and judgment, And we bless them in the name of thy Son, Jesus. Even so, amen.
Opportunity today to have the Lord's Spirit to be with us through the ministry of music. And it's just been wonderful that we would continue in the reverence of His Spirit as we focused our attention and our time in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Each of us owe our lives to Him, and it's with great desire that we've all have an opportunity to come to be able to worship Him and to dedicate this time and every day of our lives to him. I want to introduce the gentlemen that are with me this morning who are sharing in this ministry. We've got the Saints Haven branch is providing the ministry for this evening. And so the majority of us are from the Saints Haven branch with the exception of 70 Patrick McKay. On my far left is Priest Larry Ellis. Then next to him is Brian Perry. And then behind me is Patrick McKay, who's going to be providing our speaker for this evening. And then Priest Joe Kellinger. My name is Paul Williams, and we're from the Saints Haven branch, and we're looking forward and very glad that we could be here to share not only in the beautiful spirit that's already been here, but just we want to be able to continue that the spirit that we've already felt would be able to be continued. And we know the source of the spirit doesn't come from anything that we're able to do. We know that the source of the spirit comes from our Heavenly Father who provides us with these daily and rich blessings. The scripture reading I would like to bring to your attention kind of ties in a little bit with what's been said tonight, and it kind of goes along with Jackie's scriptures that she's been reading. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath given us has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I really believe that the Lord that we worship changes lives, and we've heard marvelous testimonies today of how the Lord changes lives. And we know that the opportunity is granted for Patrick and Jim to go to a land where people who have had their hearts prepared for lives to be changed. Let us stand together and sing hymn number 374, God is my strong salvation. We'll stand for this, and then we'll have our invocation by Priest Joe Kellinger.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you now thanking you for this body of saints who have gathered together to worship in your name. And I pray that their hearts have been prepared in the way that the words that you have given our brother this evening would prick our souls into action, that we would take those things which we hear and we would indeed prepare for the time of your coming. I pray that you would help us to bring about Zion, that we might be able to help others and share your gospel. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is truly blessing us tonight, and I'm just very thankful for that, so I'm going to say a prayer. Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you that all of us were able to make it. And Lord, I thank you for beautiful weather outside and for the beautiful spirit you have in here. Thank you for all this, the beautiful music that's helped your spirit come. And Lord, I just ask that you please bless this money that is picked up, that you let it go towards your work. And Lord, I ask that you please be with Brother Pat and Brother Jim McKay, that when they go to California, that they will have good luck, and that the saints down there will accept everything. And Lord, I just thank you for all the many blessings you've given us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen.
You know, as I was sitting here this evening, I thought how wonderful it is as I looked out over the congregation to share the fellowship of the Spirit and the Society of the Saints. I looked over to my right and saw Brother Clarence and remember meeting him 30 years ago, whatever it was, married his son Dennis. I saw Sister Karen and she baked bread for me at Graceland when I was a fellow student. I remember Brother Steve, met him about 39 or 40 years ago. And as I look out over the congregation, I see all these old friends. I look at Brother Tom, and I was 17 years old, and I heard Tom preach a series as a deacon in Sunnyvale, California. It was inspiring, it was enriching, and it gave me a perspective I had never had before. And then to think that tonight I sat under the imposition of the hands of the elders, one of whom was Brother Les Leitzinger. I was 9 years old when I met Brother Les, although I didn't remember that until I graduated from Graceland and was in his home. See, when I was 9 years old, my brother Jim was 11. I'm not only younger, I'm better looking. But Jim had become afflicted, left a children's camp, and came home, and there were a couple of elders from Independence, Missouri that were visiting out in California. They were taking courses at Stanford University. I think they were studying things like vertical takeoff. And my mom invited these two elders home, one of which was Brother Les. He laid hands on Jim, and Jim wasn't healed the next day or several days later. Immediately following that administration, Jim was made whole. And so I rejoice. Some of you I've only known a short time, 25 or 30 years. I hope I get to know you as well. I've chosen tonight to read as an opening scripture from Mark, the 16th chapter. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. May God add his blessing to the reading of his words, my prayer.
Is empty, no more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended. As the king comes through the gate, happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed, little children and the aged, hand in hand.
Thank you. The King is coming. And we want to talk about this Jesus tonight. You know, Jesus established his church, brothers and sisters, and within that church he placed various ordinances and commandments which were given by him for his disciples to faithfully follow and observe. He placed within this church the perfect form of worship, which when accepted, leads to the transformation of our lives, our character, loving one's neighbor, helping the needy, visiting the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and keeping oneself unspotted from the things of this world. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, who stole away at night and inquired of Jesus. And Jesus said, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. This was a primary concern for Nicodemus, just as it should be for every individual that God has ever created. These simple words reveal for us the mind of Jesus regarding entrance into the kingdom of God. This king we sang about, he is coming, and he's coming soon. The question is, are we prepared? How many of you are saved? You know, if you're not saved, you better get in a saved condition because Jesus is coming. I believe you can fall from grace, but I believe you can be in a condition which guarantees your salvation. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. We believe and therefore teach that salvation is a result of our obeying the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We must teach the things which Jesus taught, or he is not truly our Lord. The scriptures reveal, why call ye me Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus' disciples taught the necessity of baptism. On the day of Pentecost, the scriptures tell us there were devout Jews gathered out of every nation under heaven. They heard Peter and the other apostles preach. The scriptures tell us they were pricked in their hearts. You see, they were made aware of their sin. And they inquired, what shall we do? And Peter said, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Ananias admonished Saul following his experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus. You recall he was walking, struck down. He was told to go into a certain city, and there you will meet a man, and he will tell you what you must do. Ananias was afraid of Saul. Saul had been persecuting the believers, but he was visited and forewarned. And so when Saul approached him, he laid hands on him. He restored his sight, and he said, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise. Be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The scriptures tell us about John the Baptizer. He did preach in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Without repentance, there can be no remission of sins. There's no easy believism in the kingdom of God. We must truly repent of our sins that we might become recipients of the blessings that he has bequeathed to those who name his name. Nor would baptism be effectual unless it was accompanied by faith. Jesus our Savior taught, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, there's an argument on the logic of baptism. It's cause and effect. We would say grace is the cause and baptism is the effect. If one is saved, he's baptized. And we can substantiate this from the scriptures. Another way of saying this is that the cause of baptism is salvation. In this implication, the cause is salvation and the effect would be baptism. We all know the cause of salvation is grace. The Book of Mormon teaches, for we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. Thus, a person who fully accepts Jesus, accepts the grace manifested in him, will submit to baptism. It is, as the Book of Mormon says, baptism is the first fruits of those who believe and exercise faith through repentance. I had a discussion with a pastor of a local church several years ago, a debate, if you like. And I said, if I can show you in the scriptures that faith is a work, will you believe me? He said, okay. I turned to John, the 6th chapter. This is the work of God, that we believe in the Son. He said, I don't believe that. I said, what about repentance? You leave your gift at the altar and you attempt to reconcile with those that you may be out of the way with, and then you come back to the Lord. He said, well, our works are as filthy rags. It can only be a condition of the mind. But I'm here to testify to you tonight that when someone is touched by the power of the Spirit, it comes by the declaration of His Word. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. When Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch, he must have taught him regarding baptism, because the scriptures inform us, the eunuch said, see, here is much water. What hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, nothing, if you believe. When faith is combined with repentance, baptism remits our sin. Baptism comes from the Greek word baptismo, which literally means to immerse. It's represented then for us as a burial, the putting away of the old sinful man and being raised to a new life. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Rome, framed it this way. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Do you want your faith to increase? Do you realize the greater your hope in the atonement and the promise of a resurrection, the greater your faith? Do you know how the just live? By faith. Are you justified? Tonight, I ask you, saints, are you justified? I talk to people and they say, well, I don't know if I can obtain celestial glory. Maybe I can obtain one of the other glories. And then we have a funeral sermon and we put them right in the courts of glory, don't we? Those of you that were at the Zarahemla branch this morning were treated to a wonderful ministry, a prophetic ministry of preaching. Brother Bob talked about something I wanted to touch on. And for those of you that were there, I apologize for the weakness of my argument. Nevertheless, I want to bear testimony of those things that Brother Bob shared. There is in the story of the Old Testament an account of Elijah the prophet. And this story has to do with him challenging the priests of Baal. I heard Arthur Oatman preach this sermon on this topic before I ever read the Old Testament. And I can still hear him speaking in his colorful language after a day of superstitious howling and incantations on the hosts of these apostate priests. The time of the evening sacrifice drew nigh. The scriptures tell us that Elijah gathered 12 stones, and he built an altar, and he placed wood on it, and he placed a bullock on it, and he had the whole altar inundated with water 3 times. And Elijah then prayed, and the scriptures say, Lord God of Abram, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou mayest turn their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was